who you are and for how you provide for us. Father, I thank you for the provision of your word, that you have kept it over the years, the way that you intended for us to have. And so, Father, help us to be students of your word, to be diligent, to follow after what it tells us. And so, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be here this morning, guiding and directing and helping us have understanding of you. You have said those of us who are believers in Christ will receive the Holy Spirit, and he will help us understand all those things that you have for us. And so we ask that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are continuing in our read-through. We're in Proverbs right now. And this morning I'm going to be specifically looking at Proverbs 1, kind of the introductory to the Proverbs. I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through 7 particularly. As I was looking at Proverbs this week, one of the things I came across was that Proverbs are not necessarily promises, but they are rather generalizations of what is commonly true. Okay? So it's not necessarily when you read the Proverbs that it's a promise that God's making, but what he's telling us is, here's how to live. Here's how to live. And of course, in Proverbs, a lot of times you see these wonderful word pictures, right? Like Proverbs 11:22 that says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout, so is a beautiful woman who rejects discretion. Isn't that a great picture? It's a great picture. There's all kinds of those in there. Yep. I know that would have been a good one, huh? But it doesn't really give you a picture of that. Proverbs 1, verse 2 says, to learn wisdom and moral instruction and to discern wise counsel. That's what Proverbs is about. As Solomon wrote the majority of these, he was writing to his children, to his sons, saying, here's some things you need to know. Here's some things that will help you live a life that is going to be glorifying to God. So wisdom's source. What is wisdom's source? Well, it's God, really. That's where wisdom comes from. As we're looking through this section here, the other thing I want you to realize, too, is that the Hebrew, so the wording, you know, this is written in Hebrew, and sometimes it's the understanding of it can be a little difficult. But in this, in Proverbs particularly, there's this issue of morality interwoven in there and humility. And those morality and humility and wisdom are very closely united. They all kind of work together. So starting with wisdom's source being God. Oh, look at that, the book of James. It's a good book. So James 1:5. Open up your Bibles there to James 1. We're going to look at 5 through 8. James talking to us about wisdom. And he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We just need to ask for it. But then James also goes on to say, not just asking for it, but we must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For a man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We need to ask for wisdom, and we need to, by faith, believe that God is going to provide it. I also find interesting here that this verse, this passage, comes right after, consider it all joy. Consider it all joy when things go wrong. Consider it all joy when things get tough, and then it goes into this section. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, so that we can understand joy in hard stuff? I don't get that. Ask God for the wisdom to help you have the understanding. The fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, in verse 7 of this section we're looking at, Proverbs 1 through 7, it says, "Fearing the Lord is the beginning of moral knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord, the reverence for the Lord, is where we get the knowledge and the wisdom. We're going to see later in Ecclesiastes, again, that Solomon wrote this idea of putting God first. Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility." Again, that wisdom and that humility, how they work together. We're now going to look at wisdom versus knowledge, and I've got I'm not sure exactly how to say the guy's last name, Bob Deffenbaugh, I believe. He's actually a guy from Washington. He was a teacher. He went off to seminary, came back, ended up doing some more teaching, became a pastor, and this is really good. Well, I think it's really good. I guess you'll be the judge of that. So this is Bob Deffenbaugh, and he's writing. He says, "I became a teacher in a state prison, known by some as the Shelton Hilton. There was a fully accredited high school program in that prison, and the principal of that school was my principal when I was in high school. Many of the teachers were my teachers when I was a student. It was most interesting and enlightening experience," as you can imagine. "I taught the inmates psychology and world history. One of my students was honest enough to inform me that he planned to use what he learned when he was released from prison." Great. "What he told me next came as a surprise. He hinted that when he got out of prison, he would return to a life of crime. But he planned to be much smarter this time around. While in that prison, he sought out the gurus of crime and learned all of the tricks of their trade. Then when he was released, he planned to become a consultant of crime. He would charge a fee for engineering specific criminal acts. He would not participate in the crime directly, but only charge a commission for successful crimes. If his clients were caught, that was their problem. His involvement would be almost impossible to prove. I think I learned more from teaching that summer than my students did. For one thing, I experienced a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge of psychology and world history, when applied with wisdom, could prove profitable. But that same knowledge could be used in a way that would be both criminal and cruel. I wonder how many people in our educational institutions are being educated to do great harm to themselves and others." Really gets the point across, the issue of knowledge versus wisdom. And Solomon, writing in Ecclesiastes, says this. This is Ecclesiastes 12, starting with verse 11. He said, "The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion? When all has been heard, fear God and keep my commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." So Solomon telling his son here that, you know what? It all boils down to fear God, love God, follow Him. It doesn't matter how much education you have, how much knowledge you have. If God isn't present, it's worthless. It's worthless. So we're looking, excuse me. So knowledge, here's a... I guess a term to think of, knowledge of God versus knowing God. Two different things. Knowledge of God versus knowing God. Two very different things, and it affects our lives very differently. Knowledge applied morally is wisdom, and knowledge applied correctly is wisdom. The difference between knowledge and wisdom is all about the application. What's your plumb line? What do you measure everything by? Is it the Bible? Because that really should be your plumb line. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you know God, not just know of God, but know God, then Scripture needs to be your plumb line. That's what you need to base everything on. That should be your standard, keeping His commandments. And then wisdom's results. Wisdom's results, instructions for living. Back to James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. James says, "Who among you is wise and understanding?" And now he's going to say, here's how you're going to prove that. Remember, James is kind of like that. You know, show me your faith by how you live. He's going to say, show me how wise you are by how you live. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So James is saying here, here's how do you know if someone's wise or not. This is the kind of person they are. Sounds a lot like the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? It's that what's inside that person. How they live, how they act, how they talk. So the first one here under living, wise living, would be morality. We see this in the first part of verse 3 in Proverbs 1. It says, to receive moral instruction in skillful living. So what's a person's morality? You know, that's that's kind of a hot topic, I guess, for our society. Because how do you judge morality? We as believers in Christ would judge morality by God's word. But not all of society does that. You know, they will say, well, you know, that might not be okay for you, but it's okay for me. Because, you know, it's not hurting anybody, right? Tolerance, yeah. Of certain things. Morality, that issue of morality. It's a huge one. It's a lot about even what our laws are based on, is morality. And where are they getting that from? What is the standard? If anybody ever says, well, I think this is right and that's wrong, where do you get that from? What are you basing that on? Some of us would base it on God's word, but then other people are like, well, I don't know. That's just the way it is. Well, but how do you know that's true? Well, it's because what other countries do. Or okay, I won't go there. The next one is righteousness, justice, and equity. The second half of verse 3 says, in righteousness, justice, and equity, godly living, skillful living, to be righteous, to be just, to be equitable. And again, based on God's word, because that has to be our standard. We can't base it on what we think. We need to base it on what is absolutely true. The next one is discernment. Discernment. Verse 4, the first part of verse 4, to impart shrewdness to the morally naive. Now, probably when you hear that word shrewd, you don't think of something good necessarily. But you know what Jesus said about shrewdness? Matthew 10, 16, he said, I want you to be shrewd as serpents and gentle as doves. He was telling this to his disciples as he was sending them out into the world who didn't know God, who didn't really care about God, and he was saying, this is what you need to do. Be as shrewd as serpents, but as gentle as doves. Don't be too overly naive. You need to understand. And that issue of discernment also says to me, so in being discerning, who do I listen to? What do I read? You know, am I able to discern when I hear something? Is that right? Is that not right? How do I discern that? How do I judge those things that I'm hearing? You know, there's lots of information out there, right? I mean, all you have to do is go on the internet for about 5 minutes and you'll see how much information is out there. And how do you discern what's true and what isn't? You know that not everything on the internet's true, right? In case you didn't know that, I'm telling you right now, not everything on there is true and accurate. So discerning it, how do you discern what is true, what is right? Having God's word as your plumb line, as your standard. The next thing we see here is plan. What's the plan and what's the purpose for your life? The second part of verse 4 says, a discerning plan to the young person. So what's your purpose in life? What is the plan that God has laid out? Have you ever bothered to ask God? What's the plan? God, what do you want me to do? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to do? You know, there was definitely a point in my life where I didn't want to ask that question because I was pretty sure what God was going to say, and it had something to do with Africa. Well, not specifically, but, you know, it's like, do I really want to ask God that question? Because if he tells me, am I going to do it? Better off just not to know, right? That'll work for a while. Some of you already know that. That'll work for a while, and then God will finally get through. Sometimes it takes the holy 2x4, you know. That hurts. But asking God, I mean, you know, sincerely going to God and saying, what's the plan? You know, what do you want me to do? And sometimes he may say, well, I want you to just wait a while. Just hang out, do what you're doing. Hate that. No, I want to know. Where are we going? What are we doing? Sometimes it's just take that first step, and then I'll tell you what the next step is. We also need to increase in wisdom. We need to increase in wisdom. We need to have that mentality of, I'm always willing to learn. Doesn't matter how old I am, how much I think I know, I'm always willing to learn. You see this in verse 6. It says, verse 5. Let the wise also hear and gain instruction, and let the discerning acquire guidance. So what Solomon is saying here is, there may be a wise person, but you can still learn more. You can still learn more and have that attitude that you're willing to learn more. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in his learning. We need to continually be learning, be just having that attitude that we're willing to continue to learn and not go, I got that, I know it. No problem, I read my Bible once. Don't really need to read it again. I've heard people say that. Have you ever read through the Bible? Oh, yeah, I did it once. Well, when was that? Oh, you know, 10 years ago. Have you done it since? Well, no, I've read it once. Why do I need to read it again? You need to read it again. please. If you haven't already figured out that you've read something and you read it again and went, wait a minute, was that in the Bible? I know I read that last year or 10 years ago or whatever. Where'd that come from? It's all about where we are at the time. It's all about what God's wanting to do and is doing in our lives. So please be a student of God's word. That's our standard. That's our plumb line. We need to know it. And then deciphering the truth. Deciphering the truth, verse 6. To discern the meaning of a proverb and a parable, the sayings of the wise and their riddles. Having that wisdom so that we can understand some of these things. In fact, Jesus said, as he was speaking to people, he said, I'm speaking in parables so they won't understand. That seems really weird. But what he was doing is he was trying to really pull them in. Because, you know, if we hear something that we kind of get, do we really pay attention? I can remember personal experience. I'm like in second grade. And you know how they'll make announcements over the loudspeaker? And I was supposed to do something after school, and this announcement came in to me. It was for me. And I said, oh, yeah, I know that. Well, it had changed. Yeah. I ended up going where I wasn't supposed to go because, I know that. I heard that. But when you hear something, you know, like Jesus sharing this parable, and people are like, what's he talking about? What is that? And they start talking about it amongst themselves, and they really start thinking about it. It really sucks them in. And then you remember it. Don't you remember those kind of odd stories? Western goldroot. It's called Coptis occidentalis. You all knew that, right? I still remember that. Because of the story that my instructor said to how to remember it. Because it's gold root, and somebody tried to steal it, and the cops went after him, and they said, no, this is an accident. Coptis occidentalis. Yeah. But you know, it's those stories that help you remember things. So is it any wonder why Jesus used stories so that would help us remember the gold ring and a pig snout? Being discerning. And then it really culminated in Jesus, where God says that all wisdom was in Jesus. This is in Colossians 2. Colossians 2, starting in verse 2. It, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery. God's mystery being Christ Himself, in whom, Jesus, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus. The mystery of what God was doing was hidden in Jesus. And in Jesus is all wisdom and all knowledge. If we will strive to know Him, then wisdom and knowledge, correctly applied, will be ours. Let's pray. Father, we do live in a world that seems so skewed, at least from we as believers in Christ, from our perspective, that it's hard to understand at times even why people think the way they think. But we have to remember that there's an enemy out there who is a deceiver, an enemy who comes in and lies and cheats and steals and deceives and does everything he can to keep people away from you. And so, Father, help us to remember as we're out in the world, as we're trying to live lives that are full of wisdom, that are righteous and just, lives that are morally correct, that some of the people we deal with, they just don't get it. And so that we need to be examples of godly living. We need to be examples of, here's what God says, and so here's why I'm going to live the way I'm living. That they will then look at us and go, you know, that looks like a better deal. That looks like a much better way. There's hope there. Because of that hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that one day we will be with God, that one day God's justice will prevail. So, Father, help us to live Christ, to be a picture of Him. And thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit that helps us be able to do that. Because in our own power, we cannot. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live lives that are pleasing and honoring to you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I would invite you to go back and have some cake, but somebody messed up.